We're in a series looking at the life of Elijah, and you might be wondering, why do we do this? Well, you know, the Bible really teaches us, not by just giving us a bunch of essays or lectures or, you know, moral code to live by. The Bible teaches primarily through biography, right? Real human beings, real stories, real situations, not just to give us some good advice to live by. But these stories reveal who God is, the character of God, reveals the human condition, what's wrong with the human condition, and it reveals what God is doing about it, what he has done about it, how he's continuing to restore and redeem. And we see this in the life of Elijah. Now, in James chapter 5, there's this little verse in there that says, Elijah was a human just like us. And I have to say, as we've been going through this series and getting to know Elijah, it actually doesn't seem like he's a human like us. I mean, I've never been fed by ravens, have you? And I've never had to confront an evil king and tell him that there's gonna be a drought, have you? And I've never called down fire from heaven and it actually came, have you? I haven't done any of those things, although I did save 30 cents per gallon of gas last week, so. I mean, there's that. But most of my life feels very ordinary. And when I get to know Elijah's story, it seems extraordinary, superhuman, right? That he has a special just protection around him and these incredible events that take place. But we're going to find out that Elijah was human just like us. We're going to look at a passage. Elijah dealt with some deep disappointment and discouragement. And we know the life of faith, in the life of faith, there are always going to be mountaintop experiences where we see God's power show up. We see maybe figuratively how fire falls from heaven. But then we also go through those times of those valleys of disappointment and discouragement. And maybe you're facing one of those valleys right now. Maybe you've had an unkind word spoken to you at some point and it just can't get out of your mind. Or maybe you've gone through a broken relationship and you're just wondering what the future holds. Or maybe you're dealing with some kind of financial challenge. Or maybe you've been overlooked for a job promotion. Whatever the case may be, the life of faith, we will experience the valleys of disappointment. And sometimes those mountaintop experiences and valleys show up in the same situation. A number of months ago, I was in a conversation with someone from our church on a Monday. And she said to me, Pastor, that was a good sermon yesterday. And you know, for me on Mondays, sometimes I second guess my sermons or I think, oh, I should have communicated it more clearly or I kind of missed that point, should have done a better job. So I appreciated that feedback. And then she looked at me and she said, you know, there's one thing I can always count on you. I can always count on your sermons to be good. And then she said this, they may not be great, but they're never bad. Sometimes the mountaintop and the valleys are in one little conversation. I think she meant well, but here's what I've wanted to remind you today is that God meets us in those moments of discouragement. Oh, God shows up with his power in the mountaintops, but let me tell you, in the valley, he shows up through his love and tender mercy and his compassion and his unconditional faithfulness, and the goodness of God shows up. He meets us in those moments of discouragement, and I want you to be encouraged today. So as we look at this life of Elijah, as we're continuing this series, and have you enjoyed it so far? There's been some great messages from Dustin and Don and Allison last week, and so we're continuing part four. But I want to bring us up to speed. Elijah just gets done defeating all of the prophets of Baal, and God shows up, fire falls down, and it's so clear that God is the one true God. All of the people observing this, they begin to declare that God is the one true God. And then Elijah goes to King Ahab, who's this evil king. He led the people of Israel, this nation of Israel, away from serving God. The Queen Jezebel, she's the one who established the false prophet or the false worship of Baal. And so they have done tremendous damage to the nation of Israel. And so Elijah goes to them and says, you better get ready. It's going to rain because there's been 3 years of drought. And so then Ahab goes back to his palace after he watches everything that happened. And Elijah prays for rain. And there's no clouds in the sky except this one little cloud the size of a man's hand. And all of a sudden he prays and that cloud turns into an incredible rainstorm and it downpours and the drought is over. And I want to pick it up right there so that you see what happens next. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. It says this: when Ahab got home after he observed all of this, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: may the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. And then verse 3 is very important. It says, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. Have you ever prayed that prayer? I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. And then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? As if God didn't already know, right? And Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. We get a window into the mental state that Elijah was in, how he was feeling about what he had just gone through, right? Experiencing the power of God. And we don't know how much time has gone until he's at really one of the lowest points of his life, facing discouragement, disappointment. It's a dark time, some doubts. Now, when I read this, I would argue that Elijah probably had this picture in his mind of how King Ahab and Jezebel would respond to what just took place. Now, the text doesn't tell us this, but if I was Elijah, I would think that after Ahab and Jezebel heard everything, that they would just repent of their evil ways, you know, turn back to God and lead the nation and the people of Israel back to worshiping the one true God. But that's not what happened. The opposite happened. It's almost as if they dug their heels in even more. Jezebel sends this death threat to his life. And the statement in verse 3 that says, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. That really gets my attention. Because for the previous 3 years, everywhere Elijah went, he was led by the Lord, right? The Lord told him to go to the brook, and at the brook, God fed him through ravens. Then the Lord directed him to go to the widow. And then the Lord directed him to go back and talk to Ahab and confront him. All of that, Elijah obeyed. He heard the word of the Lord and he obeyed. But for the first time recorded in this story, he was just fleeing for his life and making decisions from that place of fear. And that's what fear can do, right? Fear can create doubts. Fear can you know, make us not quite think clearly and maybe ignore what we know to be true in God's word. And sometimes when we don't see the outcomes, we've been praying for something, when we don't see the outcomes, we can easily fall into this uncertainty, right? What I thought I was so certain about feels uncertain. What I was believing God for and how I thought God would show up, it didn't come to pass. And it can lead to, fear can lead to doubts, discouragement, disappointment. That's what happened to Elijah. He was in this place of fear. He left his servant behind. He went out into the wilderness and he was all alone. And And I see this very important part of this story. And I want you to write this down, number two, that it is easy to become discouraged when fear becomes our only companion. When fear is our only trusted friend. When fear is the one that we play, want to process life through that grid and that filter. That's what happened to Elijah. He was afraid and he fled for his life. But it all started because when he was alone, and it grew when he was alone. And he was in a dark place. I mean, just think about being in a dark place. Have you ever been in a room where there was no windows, it was completely dark, you could not see your hand in front of you if it was this close, it was that dark? If you're in that place, it doesn't take long for you to feel alone, even if you're in that room with other people. I mean, if we turned all of the lights off in this room and you could not see anything, it would only be a short amount of time till you felt like you were alone. Until you heard somebody else in the room. That's what darkness does. And when you're in a dark place, you don't always see or think clearly. That's what happened to Elijah. But God met him in this moment. And he met him in this moment, even though he was alone. This is why it's so important to stay connected. I mean, scripture teaches us, don't neglect meeting together, as some people are in the habit of doing, but when you gather, gather to encourage one another. Stir each other up to good works. Do it even more as the day of the Lord's return draws closer and closer. Connecting, stay connected even more. So I want to ask you, have you been encouraged today? Don't leave until you do. Have you encouraged another person? Don't leave until you do. One of the primary reasons we gather together like this is to encourage one another and stir each other up to good works. That's why it's important to gather and connect. So Elijah's in this place and gives us a great example to follow. How it's so important to stay connected. Just a few months ago, there was a man from our church who went to his property. It was about, I don't know, somewhere in the mountains in the middle of Pennsylvania. He was there by himself doing some work on his property, and he had his RV there, and he was making a campfire, and that campfire got a little bit out of control, started getting too close to his truck, so he got in his truck and went to pull it away, and his truck burst into flame. Something ignited it while he was inside. And so he was able to get out of the truck, though badly burned, and get the flames out. Thankfully, he had his cell phone in his pocket, and he called 911, and emergency workers eventually found his property. This was in a very remote area. I think they rushed him to the nearby hospital, which was something like an hour away. Eventually got there and was badly burned all over his body. And one of our pastors went out to visit him, and I had the opportunity to talk with him on the phone while he's recovering, and just ask him, you know, how are you doing? And he said, you know, I've had some really dark moments. He said, I had this some times and when I was in the hospital and I was all alone and I just was kind of asking God, why? Why did this happen? It's not like it was the first time he had ever made a campfire. But God met him in that moment of discouragement. God met him in that moment of disappointment and reminded him. He said, I just feel like God reminded me that he spared my life. Because if I would have been knocked unconscious, he said, there's no way I could have gotten out of that truck. If my cell phone wouldn't have stopped working or wouldn't have had reception, there's no way I could have contacted anyone and I wouldn't be here today. And he said, God met me in this darkest moment through his word and through the people, medical team, those who are helping him get better. And just a few weeks ago, I saw he and his wife walking into church for the first time again, and he is on the way to recovery, being healed and restored. And I know that God met him, I know that God met Elijah, and I know God will meet you in your darkest moment. So how did God meet Elijah? Well, he took Elijah to Mount Sinai at this cave, and he wanted to reveal who he was, to assure him that he still had a plan and purpose for his life. And how did he do it? If you continue to read in 1 Kings chapter 19, he says, Elijah, I want you just to stand here. And then he brought this strong wind appeared. This strong wind, it was so strong, it broke rocks apart, right? Have you ever seen a wind or experienced a wind so strong that it broke rocks apart? That's some strong wind, right? Right? That's what probably what it sounded like. But the text tells us that the Lord was not in the wind. And then an earthquake came, right? It's rumbling. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then a fire came. I don't know. I don't know what a fire sounds like. I was working on that, but I really couldn't come up with anything. But the Lord was not in the fire. And then there was a still, small voice. Gentle whisper. You look at that word, it means the holy breath of God. It was in that still, small voice that God revealed who he was. What was he saying? He's essentially saying, wind, earthquake, fire, those are natural ways of destruction. But God speaks in this still, gentle whisper, still, small voice, and it is his way of assuring you that he will meet you in your darkest moment. And he is speaking, and that's where we will find it, his healing and hope and restoration and peace and direction for your life and renewed purpose. And you can go on to read about how God spoke to Elijah and he said, look, you're not alone. There's still 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. He said, I'm not done with you. I wanted you to go back and gave him clear direction and he's letting him know that he still has an incredible plan and purpose for his life. And I would say God is saying the same thing to you today. God wants to meet you, not in the dramatic. That's not what's gonna change somebody's heart. It's in the still, small voice where he communicates hope, healing, and renewed purpose for your life. And so how do we walk through times of discouragement? Maybe you're going through it right now. Well, I wanna show you how to pray through it. And the way to pray through times of discouragement is this. You have to remind yourself why you don't have to be afraid. How? By declaring who the Lord is. Remind yourself, because it's sometimes we forget. Sometimes our eyes get focused on outcomes or situations and we forget who the Lord is. So we have to remind ourselves. And I love the book of Psalms because Psalms is a book of prayers that gives language to help us know how to pray. And in Psalm 27, verse 13, the psalmist writes this, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart. What's he saying? Unless I had seen the goodness of the Lord. He said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I had seen, that I would see it. Sometimes what we see can be our biggest distraction from believing what God will do. If we're expecting God to move in a specific way and something happens and we see that that's not the preferred outcome you were looking for, it very easy distract us from placing our faith in God's word. And so I actually want to read through Psalm 27. I believe this is such a significant, powerful prayer. And I want to read this as a prayer over us and let these words go deep into your heart today. Psalm 27, verse 1, just listen to these words. Psalmist writes this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. See, the Psalms gives us language for how to pray. And if you're wondering, how do you pray when in those moments? I actually took some language from this chapter. I put it into my own words, and I want to give you one of these. These are in the kiosks, but I want to give you how to pray through times of discouragement, that you have a script to go to get you started. Because I've found, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, when I'm in times of discouragement, sometimes I just need something that's going to get me going. And so I wanted this to be a time of prayer. I'm going to pray through this. And I believe it'll help you to know how to pray. So number one, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Remember, we want to declare who the Lord is to remind us why we don't have to be afraid. The Lord is my light and my salvation. When I have doubts or uncertainties, he gives me his word to be a bright lamp to my feet and a shining light to my path. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. So I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to fear, I don't have to worry, and I don't have to be discouraged, for you are my light and my salvation. Number two, the Lord is my protector. My mind may be attacked with fear. My body may be surrounded by sickness, pain, and disease, but I can remain confident that the Lord will protect me. My attackers will fall, and I'll ignore the voice of the critics. I will trust that whatever is coming against me is not more powerful than the one who lives inside of me. So I thank you, Lord, that you are a shield around me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Number three, the Lord is my sanctuary. He is my quiet place in a noisy world. My refuge, my hiding place. And he speaks with a gentle whisper to give me rest. I can soar like an eagle above the storm. I will run and not grow weary. I will walk and not faint. I will not complain or live in self-pity, but instead sing praises with shouts of joy. So I thank you, Lord, for setting my feet on a firm foundation, safe in your sanctuary. Number four, the Lord is my helper. He invites me to come and talk with him, and he hears me when I pray. He is full of mercy, abounding in love. Others may have rejected me, but I am confident the Lord never will. He will never turn his back on me, never walk out on me, and never abandon me. The Lord instructs, corrects, and directs my step. He is faithful to the end. Thank you, Lord, that even if I stumble, I will not fall, for you will uphold me with your right hand. And then number five, the Lord is good. So I thank you, Lord, that I can be confident to believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves who the Lord is, right? And allow those words to build up our faith. So I want to encourage you to pick one of these up and let this guide you in times of prayer. But I love how Psalm 27, verse 14, how the psalmist ends this whole chapter. Here's what the psalmist writes. wait patiently for the Lord. After all that's been said and done, can we say those words together? Wait patiently for the Lord. That means God's timing may be different than our timing, right? That means what God is doing may be in a different time frame than what we expect him to do. So wait patiently for the Lord. And while you're waiting, Psalmist writes, be brave and courageous. Can we say those words together? Be brave and courageous. Sometimes we just have to coach ourselves to be brave and courageous, whatever you're walking through. And then the psalmist says, oh, don't forget, wait patiently for the Lord. I don't know what you may be facing, but I would encourage you to wait patiently for him. And while you're waiting, be brave, be courageous. Have your heart in a posture of humility. And know and remember, remind yourself, the Lord is on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us, right? Amen. Do you receive that today? All right. Would you bow your heads? I just want to pray for you. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it encourages us and challenges us in our faith to grow. Lord, I pray whatever the Holy Spirit has for each person, that it would be clear and our hearts would be open and we would have the courage to not just see what you're doing, but to believe that we'll see it. God, I pray that we would be brave. I pray that we would be courageous. I pray that we would not live in fear, but we would look to you to lead and guide us. God, I look around this room and I know you have an incredible plan and purpose for each person on their life. And God, I pray that we would have the courage to follow that plan and purpose, knowing that you're for us and not against us, knowing that you'll never leave us or abandon us, but you'll walk with us. And we're so grateful for that. And I pray all of that in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Well, are you thankful for God's word today? Man, I really pray that you'd be encouraged today, strengthened. Yeah. I want to invite you to stand. Someone shared that they just feel compelled that we should pray. Yeah, you can all stand. Pray for those who may be struggling with thoughts of suicide. And when you heard that story of Elijah, here's a prophet, a man of God who saw God move. Yeah, he got to the place where he also had thoughts of suicide. Really, that's what it was. Take my life, Lord. I'm no better than ancestors who are buried. So I'm saying that to you to let you know, if you have those thoughts, it doesn't mean you don't love Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're too far gone. But God can break the chains of those, that those thoughts may be having a grip on you. And so if that's you, I'm not gonna have you raise your hand if that's you, but in where you're standing, you're watching online, I want you just to maybe hold your hands out. I'm just gonna invite all of us to do that. But if you're struggling with thoughts of suicide, I wanna pray for you. And if that's you, I want you to be ready to receive the freedom that God wants to give you and to live in. So let's pray. Lord, I pray for those who may have had that thought today. Maybe woke up this morning thinking, what good is my life? Too many problems, too many challenges, overwhelming, see no way out. And those thoughts and those feelings are very real. But God, there is no chain that can be broken, that cannot be broken. There's no chain that can grip too hard that you can't release. And so I pray in the name of Jesus, any spirit of discouragement that has turned into thoughts of suicide would be broken in Jesus' name. God, I pray for freedom. You said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and there is hope. And Jesus came to bring good news to the poor. He came to bring good news to the captives, to set the captives free. And so I pray for those who have had those thoughts, they will be free from them from this day forward in Jesus' name. And God, you would fill every mind, every heart with how much you love them and how big of a plan and purpose you have for their life, and that you promise that you will direct their steps and provide a way out. Whatever may feel overwhelming, whatever may feel too big and dark and discouraging, I thank you for the light that will bring hope to that person's life. And we thank you for it. And God, I pray for those who may be walking with someone who's dealing with thoughts of suicide. God, would you give them wisdom and peace and patience and kindness and knowing how to walk alongside, when to speak and when to listen. But God, ultimately know how to find help for them. And we thank you for that. And I pray all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me just say, if you are dealing with thoughts of suicide, please reach out to someone. You can talk to one of our pastors and we will get you connected with professional help. We know that when you're dealing with those kind of situations, it's very normal to just want to keep it hidden. But I want to encourage you, would you have the courage to bring it out into the light? Talk to a trusted friend, talk to one of our pastors here. We'd love to help you and get you connected to the help that you need. All right? All right. Well, are you thankful for God's word today? And I really encourage you to pick up one of these cards. It'll help you pray. They're at the kiosks as you leave. If you do need prayer for any reason, please come to the front. We'll have a prayer team down here. Maybe you're facing something that just seems impossible. I want to remind you, God can do the impossible. You join together in your faith with somebody else. If you're new to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections. We have a team there that would love to help you get connected any way that we can. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, make sure you stop by there as well. Because this journey of faith is not meant to be walked alone. So I encourage you to do that. Hey, don't forget, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for a purpose. So go out this week and passionately pursue the purpose God has on your life. Have a great week. Let's stay connected. All right.